Okay, what we want to look at is what is called vidui ma'aseh. Now, the word vidui is a word that has a lot of salient meaning. And most people connect the word vidui to the vidui that's necessary when you do tshuva. You know that the Rambam seems to say, the summon commentaries understand the Rambam as follows. The Rambam says that doing tshuva is not really a mitzvah. It's a natural reaction. Like if you know that you've done something wrong and you feel it, so of course you're going to do tshuva. You don't need the Torah to tell you to do tshuva because you want to be in. You don't want to be out. I mean, we're talking about those kinds of people. We're not talking about people. I'm not talking now about people who are not connected to the Torah. There are people who are connected to the Torah, who keep the mitzvot, who do what they're supposed to do, who try to do what they're supposed to do, and they suddenly find themselves outside. They did something wrong, either on purpose or by accident. It doesn't really make any difference. You want to get back in. So the Rambam says, according to this interpretation, remember I keep saying that, the Rambam says, of course you're going to do tshuva. I mean, what else are you going to do? You know, you're going to say, let me back in. You turn to heaven and say, I want to be in. But that's what tshuva is. Tshuva is, I want to be, again, a responsible personality. I don't want to be left out. Tshuva. But connected to tshuva, according to the Rambam, connected to the tshuva which you have to do, is an obligation of vidui. Vidui is a confession. And a confession is something that you actually say. You speak it. You say the words of the confession. Now you know that on Yom HaKippurim, we do that quite a lot. Right? There's a shorter form of confession. Ashavnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, you know, in the olden times, they liked everything to be alphabetical. It sort of like meant, it's accumulative, it's got everything, you know, it's even more than the words. It's also the alphabet. Even if you're not a Kabbalist, even if you're not a Kabbalist, I mean a kind of a pshat Kabbalist, not a floating in the air kind of Kabbalist. But if you use the Kabbalistic ideas in order to get to Pshat, if you're that kind of a Kabbalist, then you understand that speech is something that is very special. Kabbalists always thought that Jews were the possessors of speech. They were asked to do mitzvot that are simply statements. Just say it. To say Shema Yisrael. To say Kiddush on Friday night. These are statements that have an effect. And sages have an effect. I mean, it's an interesting idea. It's interesting something to think about. So the Rambam says that besides the internal tshuva that you want to do because you want to get back in, you want to be part of it, there is also a formal aspect to the tshuva process called vidui. And vidui means that you have to say what you did wrong. Now what we do is, and since everybody lives in a delusionary world, so we don't want to admit anything. I mean, nobody goes on your, I wouldn't say nobody, but I mean, I go to shul and I sit where I sit and people around me, I never confronted anybody admitting a sin, ever. But that doesn't mean they don't do it. I realize that people do it. But people like to admit imagined sins. You know, like, maybe I should have done it this way, maybe I should have done it that way, those kinds of sins. But, you know, nobody comes up and says, I shouldn't have shot that guy. You know, he's really a nice fellow, just shot him. They'll have that kind of, what we do, this is what I meant to say before, what we do is we say a number of viduyim on Yom HaKippurim, that are cumulative. like Ashanu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, that's cumulative. And then there are these endless Alchei Shechatanu, Lefanecha, Be'ones Uveratzon. That's like pretty much takes care of everything. You know, but we keep saying it again and again and again. And we say the Alchei every time we daven, and it's not good enough. So we say it all in the Mincha before Yom HaKippurim. Why do we say it in the Mincha before Yom HaKippurim? Because we might drop dead at an inopportune moment before Kol Nidre, and we will not have said. I mean, this whole thing is very strange. And the Sefer Yireim, is a book of Musar and Halacha written by a Rishon, Rabbi Lozov Mimetz. Metz is Mayens. Is that what it's called today? Magensa. Metz is Magensa. The Sefer Yireim said that there are four times in the year when people do tshuva. He said, every day, that's one time, every day, people do tshuva. Then there's Erev Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, and what's the fourth? What? Wait a second. And Yom Kippur. I'm sorry. And Yom Kippur. So, what happened? I'll do it again. The four times. Four times are Erev Shabbos.
Rosh Chodesh.
Every day.
And Yom HaKippurim. We'll do it. So, how do you do tshuva? You have to say vidui. So it's not only the mincha before Yom HaKippurim, according to the Sefer Yireim. He says, there are places where they do this, there are places where they do that mincha. So tshuva and vidui became an essential part of our culture. Like, you know, this is to say about the Jews, they're always guilty of something. I mean, Jews amongst themselves, not Jews in the eyes of other people, but Jews amongst themselves, they're always guilty. We're the guiltiest people that there are. Okay, one, take your choice. So the word vidui is obviously connected to tshuva. And this psukim that we're about to learn is called vidui maaser, which sounds like it has something to do with tshuva, because it's vidui. But the word in Hebrew, vidui, could also mean an announcement. Not an announcement connected to tshuva, but stam an announcement. And in terms of understanding this parasha that we're about to look at, you have to recognize that distinction, that the word vidui could mean a neutral kind of announcement, but it could also mean a statement that relates to doing tshuva, which I can do all the time, right, according to Xavier. But certainly you could do tshuva all the time. I mean, it's ridiculous to imagine that you have to wait till Yom HaKippurim to do tshuva, because if you want to do tshuva, you're going to do tshuva. You can't wait. It's not something you can wait for. The mitzvah of tshuva is ordinarily confused with Yom HaKippurim. But it is not in essence, as the Sefer Yireim says, not as has anything to do with Yom HaKippurim. What happens at Yom HaKippurim? What happens at Yom? You don't do tshuva. But the Kohen Gadol does it on your behalf. It's like a whole different world, what goes on Yom HaKippurim. It's not like we think all year long we eat, drink, and are merry, and then we make up for the year of merriment on Yom HaKippurim. No, it's not like that. All year long we do tshuva. And if we do tshuva, we probably will have to say vidui also every day. Every day, every Shabbos, in other words, like tshuva itself, it has like these two aspects. On the one hand, I don't like to do tshuva for averes that I know that I did. But I really like to do tshuva for averes that I don't know that I did. Right? Those are the ones. So on that basis, you can certainly do tshuva every day. Right? So we say in Shmon Esrei, Ashiveinu, Slachlonu, we say things which are connected to tshuva every single day. It's not like the Urayim. The Urayim didn't say Shmon Esrei, but we say it in Shmon Esrei. the Rebbe didn't mention Shmoneh Esrei. That's what I mean. But we know that we say it in Shmoneh Esrei every day, except for Shabbos and Yontif. Right? We know that Rosh Chodesh is a special day by the sacrifice of Rosh Chodesh, and Yom Kippur is a different day. It's not the day that we do tshuva because we didn't do tshuva at all the other times we should have done tshuva. It's a day of special tshuva. And that special tshuva emanated from the Beis HaMikdash, and there was this feeling, even long before Rav Kook came on the scene, that there was a need for national tshuva. That the nation existed, the Rambam says this, the Feirush, that the nation of Israel, or every nation in the world, exists as a spiritual entity. And it has, and choices come up for all groups and all peoples and all communities. They come up all the time to do the better thing or not to do the better thing, to do the spiritually reasonable thing or to ignore it. So that entity, the nation of Israel, does tshuva on Yom HaKippurim as an entity, as a group. And that tshuva is led by the Kohen Gadol. He does it. And that's a very difficult kind of tshuva, as you may remember, because with the Sa'ir HaMishtalech, you have to send the Korban out of the Beit HaMikdash in order to quiet the different elements in the world, as the Ramban tries to explain. But you have to, you understand, you could agree that it's difficult, that Yom Kippur is a difficult day, even though we're optimistic about it. But we're usually optimistic about it on the personal level, like you get all these things mixed up, that we figure if we have had to drop dead on Rosh Hashanah, so I'll make it through Yom Kippur somehow. You know, but that's not really the way it is. So here I'm going back again. In Devarim Perek Yud Dalet, which is not our parashah, there is mention about these Masrot and Bikurim. So he says, Mikzei Shalosh Shanim, at the end of 3 years, Totsi et kol masar tvuat chava shana hi, v'inachta b'sharecha. You take the maaser. You collected maaser. Maaser is a tenth. You take a tithe. What are you supposed to do with that tithe? You're supposed to either give it to somebody. Give it to a Kohen. Maybe give it to a Levi. Maybe give it to an Oni. That goes, depends on what the year of the 7 years that you're talking about. But it's, one thing is for sure, it doesn't belong to me. I've got to give it away. Now, I didn't give it away, but I set it aside. And then the Pasuk says, after 3 years, we're talking about the fourth year, and you put it in your sha'ar. The sha'ar is the entranceway or the exit from the city in which you live. It's the public place. It's where the dayanim sat and the Beit Din and the soldiers and the whoever else they were about sha'arim. Rashi says, "Mikzei shalosh shanim, bov lamed she'im hisham masrotav shel shana rishona b'shniya." That it sounds like what it says is if you didn't do anything with the Maasrot, with these tithes that you took, right? In other words, you have to understand the tithes in the language of learning, taking the tithes make it possible for you to eat the food. You have to separate the tithes. But then there's a second obligation, that is to give it to the right people. Right? So you've taken the tithes all the time because you want to eat the food that you grow. But you haven't suffered, some reason passed it on. So then it says, Bar Levi, the Maaser Rishon. So the Levi will come, and he gets Maaser Rishon, and Agevi Atom, V'yitlu Maaser Sheni, that's also called Maaser Ani. Shehu shel ani shel shanazo, that belongs to the poor. Delo tachled ata b'Yerushalayim kederech shenizkeket lechol maser sheni shel shtei shanim. And don't eat it in Yerushalayim, but give it to the aniyim. I want to get involved in this. Tager v'yatom. He said, look at Pasuk Kaftet. Ba'alei vi, keilo cheli v'dachalayimach. right? The lady, he gets something because he's not working. He doesn't have a salary. A chelek, a portion of the land, an inheritance of the land. That's how you earned a living. You made money from the land. But they didn't get any land. Because Levi, the tribe of Levi, did get domicile in Eretz Yisrael, but they didn't get land. And therefore, they had to be supported. Right? A Levi, ki eino chelek v'nachalaimach. And then ger v'yatov almana, ger v'yatov, also people don't have land. Right, the ger, because he joined up with the Jewish people, and all the land was given out by Yoshua and Moshe Rabbeinu, and the yatom is the person who somehow his father's inheritance disappeared. Right, he's no longer connected, and the almana, of course, has no land. Asher b'sharecha v'achlu b'saveyo, they'll eat, and they'll be satisfied. Leman yivarechecha Hashem elokecha b'chol maaseh yadecha asher ta'aseh. That's what it says in the pasuk. Okay, Rashi points out v'chlu v'saveyu. You see that last Rashi? Tein lehem kedei sviya. Give them enough so that they feel satisfied. Mikan amru ein pochatim lo ani begorin. Rashi will mention it again. That there's a certain. The Gemara says there's a shear. That you have to give, you have to allow the ani to take a certain amount. You can't say, no, no, not you, I want to give it to another guy, you know, to give everybody some crumbs. You can't do that. Vata, olech liyushalayu namaser shel shana rishana vishniya, shehishheita umitvadeh, nachamu. Ata, olech liyushalayu, you go to Yerushalayim, lemaser, to take the maaser of shana rishona v'shniya, shehishheita, that you kept back. You didn't give it to the kohen. You didn't give it to the people who deserve it. And mitvadeh. Mitvadeh uses that word. Hirachi uses that word mitvadeh. The word mitvadeh is not written in the Chumash. U mitvadeh, and you confess, and you announce, and you do tshuva. What are those? Pick one. And what is it? Your mitvadeh. Your mitvadeh. Biarti hakodesh min habayit. Kimo shemifarash sham perikavav b'chi techalel aseh. That's our parasha. That's the continuation of perik yudalit is a perikavav. Perikavav is in the parasha of Kitavo, this week's parasha. And the beginning of the parasha, the beginning of the parasha of Kitavo, is about the way life is going to be affected by coming to Eretz Yisrael and settling it successfully. That's the beginning of the parasha of Kitavo. So one of the things that you have to do, again, we'll read the psukim, Ki techalel aser kol maaser tefuatcha b'shana shlishit shnat maaser. Now, as we're talking about the third year of seven, right? You always count for maaser. We always count the seven of the sabbatical year, right? So so you had shana shlishit. We're up to shana shlishit. Shnat maaser. V'natata la'levi la'ger li'yato la'alvana v'achlu b'sharecha v'saveil. This is a summary. You should give it to who you should give it to, and they will all be satisfied. Pasuk Yud Gimel, v'amarta l'fnei Hashem Elokecha, and then suddenly there's an obligation. You know, to us it's a little strange because everybody knows you have to give tzedakah, and giving tzedakah maybe is connected to the idea of the trumot and the masrot of old. We don't give trumot and masrot, but we give tzedakah. But here there's a concomitant obligation. A little strange. There's an obligation. The obligation is, that sounds like a command, doesn't it? You say standing before God. I mean, where are you standing? You're standing in your house someplace. I've exhumed, I've done away with, I've taken the sacred from my house, And Gam also gave it Natativ la Levi la Geli Atom la Mana Bechol Mitzvotecha Asher Tzivitani Lo Avarti Bemitzvotecha Lo Shechachti. I did not deny any of your mitzvot, and I did not forget. It's a little bit odd. We know that there is a notion called bracha, and in the notion of bracha, there's a category called Birkot HaMitzvah. There are Birkot HaMitzvah. Birkot HaMitzvah serve a utilitarian purpose. They announce that you're about to do a mitzvah. Asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu. Why do I do that? Because it's important when you do a mitzvah to know that it's a mitzvah. If you don't know that it's a mitzvah, and you're just imitating what other people are doing, or you're for some reason acting out some kind of a dream that you had the night before, so that's not called doing a mitzvah. And while the concept of kavanah, of intention, is a very difficult one to define, there is no doubt that when you do a mitzvah, you have to have some intention. And the intention that you have to have is that it's a mitzvah. That's your intention. And so when you say the bracha, what you're saying is, I'm doing what I'm about to do because God told me to do that. And that's why brachot are always said, uvar la'asiyatan. Uvar la'asiyatan means before you do the mitzvah, you make a bracha and you do the mitzvah. Everybody knows that there's this problem with lighting candles on Friday night. Because if you light the candles, maybe it's Shabbos, you don't want it to be Shabbos, so that you'd have to trick. You have to trick yourself. And how do you trick yourself? You cover your eyes. After you light the candles, you say the bracha, then you cover your eyes. But it all goes back to the same idea, that in order to have kavanah, in order to have, you should say a bracha. Now here, it doesn't say that there's a bracha. It says, v'amarta, he says, you bring natata la levi, first you give it, and then v'amarta, and then you say it. Right? And then you continue. And you say, lo achalti ba'oni mimeni, v'lo be'arti mimeni, v'tamei, v'lo atat mimeni, l'meit, shabbat b'kol Hashem, v'lo kecha, asini kol Hashem, tzivitani. That pasuk means, not only did I do what I was supposed to do, but I did not get myself involved in alternative or incidental transgressions that might have happened. I was very careful about all this. I didn't get involved in something that was tameh, something that's ritually unclean. And I did not get involved in the wrong amount of that. I did everything according to the rules. Not only did I do it, but I did it according to the rules. Rashi says, here, you see Rashi Pasuk Yud Gimel? Rashi and Pasuk Yud Gimel says, Ramata Livne Hashem Elokecha. See, it's sort of down the fifth, sixth wide line. Hitvade Shenatata Masrotecha. He likes that word. Use that word again, Hitvada. Hitvada means, well, Hitvada means he announced it, he said it. Right, hitvada shenatata ma'asrotecha. So on the one thing, on one hand, Rashi seems to interpret the word hitvada as to announce. He said it. On the other hand, he keeps using that word hitvada as though it was the only possibility. He could have said, it's here. He just announced it. He said it. There are a lot of words in Hebrew that amar, he could have said it easy. Why did he have to annoy us with this word hitvada? Right, biyarte hakodesh min habayit. The next part of the Rashi says, "Maaser sheni v'tetar revayu lavetcha shem shav asuratav shel shtei shadim v'lo helam neyushalayim shetzarich la'alotav acham." So we learn a new halacha that if you didn't take what's supposed to go to Yerushalayim and eaten in Yerushalayim by the Baalim, you have to do it now, even on the third year. You take the stuff of the first two years. That's Biyardi HaKodesh V'Nabai V'Kav Natati La Levi Zeh Maser Rishon La'Ger Le'etom La'Almana. So there are all these halachot, and the point is that the Rashi had to say Hitvadah. Well, why do you have to say that? So this brings us all to the Sevarga. Those of you who have learned Chumash who come to the shir, who learn chumash with me, you could say with a clear conscience that he never quoted the Sephora. Never. And the reason for that is because my Rebbeim never quoted this Sephora. But everybody quotes this Sephora. This is the Sephora. I mean, I'm not saying anything about the Sephora. It could be, it's great, you could give it a go. And but it's not in my, generally, the kind of what I learn. I don't learn the Sephora. But he listened to the Sephora. The Arti HaKodesh Min HaBayit. You see the Sephora, it's on the first side, the same side. Sephora, the Arti HaKodesh Min HaBayit. The words mean, I did away with the sacred from my house. I took it out. The Trumot, the Masrot, everything that I was kind of derelict in my obligation. I got it out of my house. Min HaBayit. So Sephora says, B'chata'enu b'avonot avoteinu husra ha'avoda ma'abechorot asher lahem ayu re'uyot trumot u'ma'asrot. Translation. B'chata'enu, because of our sins in the past, u'ba'avonot avoteinu, and the transgressions of our fathers, Husra HaAvodah, the service of God was taken away from the firstborn. Asher lahem hayu reuyot trumot u'ma'asrot. The firstborn, you remember, that the Kohanim were the firstborn in every family. And they lost their privilege. Their privilege of Kuna, and that privilege was transferred to the family of Aaron HaKohen, right after which glorious event? The Chet HaEgel. Right? It was transferred, it was taken away. So he says, Biyarti HaKodesh V'Nabayit, Biyarti HaKodesh. It's just like he said, everybody has this residual feeling. Everybody in the world. Every Jew has this feeling that these Trumot and Masrot that he separated in his house, he says, why doesn't he get rid of them? Why doesn't he give it away to the people who are supposed to get it? Because underneath, he feels that it really belongs to him. It really belongs to him because every family, every household, there's a Bechor. And every household, therefore, has somebody that these Trumot and Masrot were taken away from. They took it away, the Torah took it away from him, from this guy. So along comes the Sfarad, he says, B'yarti HaKodesh B'dabayit. What is he really saying? I didn't like to do it. I didn't want to do it. I really deserve it. I'm the Bechor. Or some, my brother is a Bechor. We really should have been able to participate or partake of this Kodesh. But I understand the Torah is forcing me to get rid of it, so I got rid of it. Avoteinu, again. Bechata'enu, bavonot avoteinu, usraha avodame abechorot. We know that. That they lost their privilege because of something that happened. Asher lahem ayu reuyot, trumot, u'ma'asrot. They deserved the trumot and ma'asrot. Ka'amaro v'etma otam b'machanotam v'ha'avir kol peter rechem. Peter rechem, the firstborn son, is kind of bought out by a Kohen, right? The Pinyon Aben, to remind us of the fact. To remind us that it didn't have to be that way. It could have been differently. It could have been done differently. So again, Kam Natati LaLevi, Kam, the second part of the Sfora. Ta'am, Gam, Kikta'am Af. That the word Gam has to be understood in Hebrew just like the word Af. Also, including, right? Something like that. Kita'am Af. Al Pi. Right? I'm sorry, Avopi. Kitam, Avopi. Kimo, Gam Ayiti Alayla, Laish, Vigam Yaladati Banim. right? That is proof. Yomar im kein. Yomar im kein. Modeh ani ki gadol avodni shegaramti leva'er ha-kodesh v'hamayim. So what do we say? We say, I know that it's my fault. It shouldn't have been this way, that bi'arti ha-kodesh min ha-bayit. And it didn't have to be that way. If just in those days we would have done what we should have done, everything would be just perfect. But now what I'm saying is, modeh ani, I admit that what is vidui? Vidui is the announcement that you did something wrong. I mean, it may have a formula to it, but this is vidui, he says. It came modeh ani, ki gadol avodish, karatit ve'akodish ben abayit. Even though I gave it to the Levi and to the other guys that you commanded me to do, so you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shmos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, after the whole story with the Chet HaEgel, there's a terrible pasuk. I mean, a pasuk that's a difficult pasuk. Just a second. After Moshe Rabbeinu begs for forgiveness for Am Yisrael, remember there's that pasuk v'ata, perek lamed bet, pasuk lamed bet, v'ata im tisach atatam. Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you will bear their sin, if you will allow them to move on in history and not destroy B'nai Yisrael, okay. And if not, if you, Hashem, do not agree to accept somehow B'nai Israel with their sin, erase me. Hashem al Moshe. God answers Moshe Rabbeinu, Mi asher chatali emchenu misifri. Who deserves to be erased? The people who sinned, not you, not Moshe Rabbeinu. What did you do? Vata, HaKadosh Baruch Hu summarizes the new agreement between Moshe Rabbeinu, Am Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The new agreement. And that new agreement is Vata, Lech Neche et Ha'am. Go down and lead the people, El Asher Dibarti, Lach. Bring them to the place which I told you. Hine Malachi Yelech Lifanecha. Right, that's the deal. Malachi yelech lefanecha. Malach is not God. It's not God. In other words, you're still being led. You'll still be directed to go to Eretz Yisrael. You'll still be protected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you won't be led by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, there is something unfinished here. There's something. Moshe Rabbeinu, he won, but he couldn't win. He couldn't change the reality. So it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, okay, they'll live, they'll go to Eretz Yisrael, but they're going to bear that burden. What burden? The burden of the Chet HaEgel. They'll bear that burden. And so the pasuk ends. B'yom pakti pakadati alehem chatatam. And Rashi says that means when God punishes B'nai Yisrael, when the occasion comes up that B'nai Yisrael deserve to be punished for something that they did or something that they omitted, B'yom Pakti, at that day, Ufakadati Alehem Chatatam, they will be punished a little bit extra for the sin of the Egel Azahav. So that the deal between Moshe Rabbeinu and Kadosh Baruch Hu was not that we forget and forgive. That was not the deal. Okay, history will go on. But they will bear the burden of the Chet HaEgel forever. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu. And what does this Sforno say? Modeani ki gadol avoni shegarabti levar HaKadosh ben Abayit. He says, I know that what am I doing? I'm taking the stuff out of my house. Why am I taking the stuff out of the house, putting it into the public thoroughfare? Because I want to give it to the Kohen, to the Levi, to the Yosam, the Almona. I want to give it to all those people. Why do I want to give it to all those people? Because God told me to do that. Why did God tell me to do that? Because I lost my standing as a Kohen. So every time I do this positive act, every time I do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do, every time I do what the Torah wants me to do, I am reminded of the fact that I sinned and that I carry this sin around with me always. And that's the answer to the question that Shari Tshuva says, if I did Tshuva last year, do I have to do Tshuva this year for the same Aveira? Right? It's an interesting question. He says yes.
Based on this form?
No, not based.
That's yours.
It's just like a thought. You have to do tshuva again for whatever it was you did tshuva for already. Now, there are different types of tshuva, but that's what he says. He says he's doing a mitzvah. These guys are doing a mitzvah that they're bi'arti HaKadosh min Abayit. It's remarkable. And while he's doing the mitzvah, he's mitvadeh. He turns this statement, Bi'arti HaKadosh min Abayit, as though it was a statement about the act that he had just participated in. He turns it into an act of vidui. The vidui, the kind of vidui that's associated with tshuva. Right? He's doing that vidui. He's not doing the vidui of making an announcement. So now if you look at the Shemi Shmuel.
Can we pause for a second? I mean, that's a very radical reading of the text.
You talk about the Sforno.
Sforno, yeah.
Okay.
It's just, for me at least, it's just worth pausing.
So listen to the Shemi Shmuel, because he agrees with you. At least he starts. Here it is. He had the idea of Ashkir for Moshe. We pray to God that you could turn it all into good. And we know that right now it's bad, but we hope it turns into good. So look at the Shemi Shmuel. Ashkir for Moshe. Rashi, you see in the second side? What's that called? I can never get it right. The obverse. Obverse?
Yes.
What?
Verso.
Verso is the second side? Okay. What's the obverse? The first side. Different language. Just a different language. But Rashi said, Kol hashkafash of mikra de ra'a, chutz v'ashkifa mon kachecha. Rashi says that whenever the word hashkifa is used, it always implies something bad, except for this pasuk, which says that God should look down and see goodness. We know that we're in trouble, but maybe God will see goodness. Shegadal gadol koach matnot aniyim shafach midat haroges l'rachamim. This is Rashi says. He says, after all, what are we talking about? We're talking about matnot aniyim. We're talking about staka. And staka changes God's attitude, so to speak, from anger to mercy. Near Lefarech, this is the Shemesh Shmuel. Up to now, he quoted. Hine vidui baser lichora einom van. He says, what does it mean? What does vidui baser mean? What's vidui have to do with this mitzvah? Delo matzino vidui ela al aveira velo al mitzvah. Because vidui is you always the aveira, not a mitzvah. Vayein sforno. Shavidui walachet sheba avurah usra avodam mehabichorot velulei achet ayuem ruyim litein lahem chumotu masra. That's the Sforno, right? The chet was that they lost the right to be kohanim, and had they maintained the right to be kohanim, they would get the chumotu masra. That's what he says. He's good. He's learning with us, right? That's the Sforno. Kadvaro v'adayim eino miyushav kol atzorek. But this is not a perfect answer. Shaharei iskir gam maser sheni. Because amongst the masrot that we're talking about, There's a maaser called maaser sheni, right? There's Rishon and there's sheni. Maaser sheni, shabalim ochlim oto. That doesn't do it, kohanim or leviyim. So how did that get into the story? How did that get into the story? Shabalim ochlim oto v'lo odela shemashma sheikar havidui al lehakai de potach beikra be'arde hakodesh ben abayit. Uberashi, she said, Master Shani, and they had to remind you. You can't say that this story about Master Shani is an appendage to this parasha, because that's what the parasha is talking about mostly. So if that we're talking about Master Shani, how does the Sforno fit into what we're talking about? Good. Ukshani Latzmiya Yitiomer says, I myself, if I had to explain this, the innate Makatub Ne'emar Shamati, Bekol Hashem Elokai, Asiti Kechol Hashem Tzivitati. In fact, there's double two phrases that mean the same thing. Right? The first phrase, Shabati, I listened to what God told me to do. And the second part is Asiti, I did what God told me to do. Lechorahu Kevel Hashem. Kevel Hashem means it's the enemy. Kevel Hashem is always the enemy because you have too many words. Right? So you want to uncapable it. You'd like the two parts of the pasuk to mean something different. Kefil, Yeshuf, one second. Kefil Hashav. Yeshuf Haresh. Alpi Divrei HaRambam. Now this Rambam doesn't really exist, but it is quoted. Uva b'tchilat sefer ma'aseh rokeach. There is this position where usually when you say the Rambam, you mean the Yad HaChazakah, the Mor HaNebuchim. But here he's quoting a tshuva. The Rambam says this: Tzarich Adam Lerdoch Achar Kavanat HaTorah. That a person, it's not enough to do the mitzvot, but you have to try to do what the Torah really wants you. Really wants you to do. And he says, Lo sage litfos ha-mitzvah rak fi shitchiyut ha-ma'amar rak leireid lisof kavanat ha-Torah. You should not think of a mitzvah like simply a string of words in the Torah, and you do it, right? You shake a lulav, you eat a matzah. You shouldn't think of it that way. But you have to sort of try to get to the bottom of it, to the bottom of things. There's a greater idea, right? I mean, everybody knows that the Rambam and the Mor Nebuchim did not do this. The Rambam and the Mor Nebuchim generally explain mitzvot very pragmatically. They work for something. They help you. They're good for society. They're good for something. He didn't talk about Kavanat HaTorah, but here in this tshuva, the Rambam does. He says, "Lo sagi litvos b'israq v'ishit chiyut ha-mamah, rak l'reid l'sof Kavanat HaTorah." Ve'hu, ke'en she'katav ha-Ramban b'mitzvat kedoshim t'yu, she'chol liyot naval b'rishut ha-Torah, v'chein b'mitzvat v'asita ha-yashar v'atov, ayein sham d'varav ki'na'im. You remember that the Ramban, in the beginning of the parashav kedoshim, explains that a person to be a naval, a bad guy, Birshut HaTorah, sort of like within the context allowed by the Torah. And one of the two examples, he brings examples of sexual relations and eating, and overeating. And he says clearly, he says like when it comes to both of these things, the Torah was not interested in you maximizing the opportunity, but was interested in people being more moderate. That's a kind of such an obvious conclusion for the Ramban, that anybody who doesn't accept that conclusion is a naval b'rishut HaTorah. He's really a bad person. So that when it comes to Isurim Averot, he says, the Ramban shows us that you have to be deeper. You have to go deeper into the matter in order to understand what it is that God really wants you to do. You can't just look at it, you know, at the top. And then he says, that's the Ramban. V'zeu kefil alashon. And that's why the pasuk has the two verbs in it. Shamati, I heard. Kikol hu pnimiyut hadvarim. V'azasiti kechol asher tzivitani ולא כפי הנראה משטחיות המאמר לבד, אלא שירדתי לסוף דעת התורה, מה שכוונה בזה. That is to say, שמעתי, first I learned and I studied and I understood, and then עשיתי. Right? I'm not just, you know, tell me, can I put the tea bag into the hot water or not? I want to know what the definition of bishul might be that would include or exclude the tea bag at this particular time. So he says that seems to him, Shem Yishmur, to be very obvious. And then he goes on and he says, "V'haydu sheikav anata Torah shetiyeh haspakal mekablim levad ki lo ya chaser l'Hashem yitbarach derech laspik lahem dey machsoram bil adav ela sh'al yedei hamatanot yelo tziruf im hakohanim v'alaviim v'im aniyim sheish gam bahem ma'ala b'ma sheheim meduka'im וכתיב אני אתקי אשכון וכמו שהגיד כבוד קדשו אבי אדמור זכר צדיק אצטר שלכן נקראו מתנות עניים כמו מתנות כהונה עד כאן דברו. So what does he say that if you look carefully at the in other words, why did this happen? So why was it that the punishment was to take away the kahuna from the bechorot and to make everybody else give trumot and ma'asrot? So he says, if you look at the deeper meaning, you will understand that what caused... I mean, he doesn't say this, I'm adding parentheses. What caused these terrible transgression, Am Yisrael, was a lack of cohesiveness and a lack of understanding in that one. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, he said, Mila Shem Eli, who comes with me? And the Levium went with Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, the nation was divided at the time. Aaron HaKohen supposedly tried to convince people that they shouldn't build the Egel HaZahav, and the way he did that was by building it with them, you know, like helping them and trying to show them that it was folly of some sort of or other. So the Shem Yishmur says, says this, that the antidote to the Aveira is tzedakah. Internal tzedakah, because the internal tzedakah ties you to the people that you are giving the tzedakah to. So all these people who have difficulty in being part of Am Yisrael, the Kohanim and Levim because they have no source of income, and the Yatom and the Almana and the Ger because they don't have any real connection. But if you give them, there's a tikkun. There's a fixing of whatever it caused this Aveira to be. So according to the Shem Yishmur, it's not just that the vidui is about the chait, but it's at the same time that I realize that I did the chait, I am able to effect a tikkun on that chait, a fixing of that chait, because the chait was derived from the fact the Erev Rav, the people who upset, who created this divisiveness which led to the chait ha'egel, right? All of that is true. But the trumot and the masrot, the bringing the trumot, taking it out of my house, making it, giving an opportunity for all the people, straightens all that out because it connects you to the people that you're trying to support through these gifts. The last part of the Shem Yishmur, and therefore, this is even true for Ma'aser Sheni, which is eaten by the Ba'alim, Shema Lazmin al Shulchano Kohanim Leviim Vadat Achasidim. You should be able to invite everybody in Yerushalayim to eat with you achashe no rashai lo tzi ela ala chila ushtiya, that this, the money that you get for the maaser when you go to Yerushalayim, you could only use it for food. Whatever is left, he has to give to the people in Yerushalayim. And by connecting himself to these righteous people in Yerushalayim, he will change himself. He'll find that he himself will change. So that the addition of the Shem Yishmur, is like, so, okay, but what's the point? I mean, okay, I recognize the fact that I did an Aveira. I recognize the fact that 1,000 years ago something happened which shouldn't have happened. But what's it got to do with Trumot and Ma'asrot? So the answer is that at the same time that as I do the Vidui, which is what the Sforno said, at the same time that I do the Vidui, I'm also fixing the world that was the result of the Chet, Ha'Egel. And I'm trying to create a new world in which such a thing could never happen again. And I do that based on this insight of the Rambam, that all mitzvot have their kind of, their veneer, right? The way they look, the way they act, but they also have some deeper meaning that you have to seek out. And deeper meaning in this case, right? The deeper meaning in this case is that, that everybody can do something that gets other people together with them, that somehow there's an advantage. An advantage to having a common ground as opposed to just being rambunctious. Okay. Have a good Shabbos.